Alrighty then.
Let's go. Hello and welcome to our podcast.
We are Formula One rookies that have decided to air our opinions online.
Bringing you reviews based on weekly races.
As well as our race predictions for the next race based on the F1 game.
Hey guys, welcome back.
Hi guys. Well, I thought it would be nice to chat about previous Italian Grand Prix. Like,
what's Kimi Raikkonen holds the fastest lap.
Really? I didn't even know that.
2018.
Wow.
She hit the fastest lap there.
That is very interesting. It's very exciting. Last year, Charles Leclerc won the Italian Grand Prix, which was amazing because it was a Ferrari driver winning a Ferrari race, I guess you could call it. It's not nice to call it a Ferrari race, but technically every single person in the stands usually, because this year it wouldn't happen, but they would all be Ferrari supporters.
Yeah, because it's in Italy. Italia.
Also, I heard that Italians are like diehard fans. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, they are. They really are. I coach a kid in soccer, and his parents are Italians, and I mentioned F1, and they cancelled my whole training just to talk to me about Formula One.
That is the craziest thing that I've heard.
Literally, they were like, no, you can do it some other time. And I was like, oh, okay, cool.
Oh my gosh.
Gotta know my kids' parents.
Also, you got paid to just talk about Formula One.
Literally.
Which was amazing. With regards to Monza, I don't really know that well. Like, all I know is that it's in Italy and Ferrari's Italian. This is not a Ferrari fact. Sebastian Vettel, my favorite, he won his first ever Formula One race in Monza.
For real? I didn't know that.
I think he was 21 when he won the race, but he was this little kid. He looked really young. I know Max is like just over 21, but he looks way older than Vettel looked at that age, I feel.
I feel like people look so much older than what they do now.
Yeah, these days, yeah. Like, the world's changing, guys. But
all they're old, but they look really young. I saw this lady, she looked 21 and he was 33.
Hectic. Anyway, so Vettel, our little Vettel at the time, won the Monza GP back in 2008, I think it was. It wasn't his first ever Formula One season. He had re-raced. This was his first time with Toro Rosso.
He won his first championship in 2010.
Yeah.
And it was probably 2009.
This is only because I'm a diehard Vettel fan. And in this past 3 weeks where we were radio silence from each other, Brandon, I was doing a lot of research. I was doing a lot of Formula One research. Also, this is just based on the fact that I haven't been really enjoying the season's races. So I rewatched a couple of races. Well, I wasn't like proper rewatching, but every time at home, I feel like there's nothing cool to watch on TV. So I'm like, let's rewatch a race. That's kind of what we do. My go-to races, I'm on a mission to watch every race that Vettel has raced in, like when he was a champion, because I missed those years. I missed that. I know he's a champion, but I miss seeing him become a champion. I wanted to start right at the beginning, and just coincidentally, it ended up being Monza, and he was racing Toro Rosso. So I don't know the start of his story, but technically, I think he started in BMW Sauber or something. But in 2008, he was Toro Rosso, so he got upgraded. I don't know if Christian was in the picture, but the team principal of Toro Rosso was a former F1 driver. I think his name was Gerard Berger.
Okay.
Yeah, well, to go research some history there, Brandon, because it's very important. But Berger, he's quite famous, but he was the team principal for Toro Rosso, and Vettel was kind of like this just wild card newbie. He wasn't really anything exciting. I don't think he was exciting because they were very shocked that he had gotten pole for that race, the youngest ever driver at the time to get pole. And from Toro Rosso, which was the most surprising because they were not a fast team. And this was also when Lewis Hamilton was like the top driver. He was still a top driver down there in 2008. They expected him to be on pole. And if anyone knows Kovalainen, he was Lewis Hamilton's partner. Just by the way, I say this in excitement because I did not know what Kovalainen looked like until I watched this race. And he was a cute little blonde boy. He's actually finished, so he's like a Kimi Räikkönen kind of. So anyway.
No, he's a buddy, not Kimi Räikkönen.
Yeah, but I think Kovalainen's quite young. I don't know how young he is. He's probably about Lewis Hamilton's age, well, Vettel's age.
35.
So yeah, Vettel was a young one. He, the youngest ever on pole with a low team, they called it, because it was Toro Rosso, and led the race. The race was raining. It was like drenched. Everything was like flooding. Rains. I'm being dramatic, but it was so weird. And I think that's why he won. That career was on pole, had advantage, and he was on pole. So he won the race. So that was his first win. And he did win a couple after, but when he became champion in 2010 was with Red Bull. So 2009, he got upgraded to Red Bull because Christian, I think it was Christian, he saw him and was like, we need this tour. So kind of like a Gasly situation. They wanted this Toro Rosso driver to be in their main team. Yeah. And then in 2009, if anyone knows, Braun was a new Formula One team that came into like the whole racing scene. And then Jenson Button and Rubens Barrichello were the drivers, and Jenson won the championship in 2009, but Vettel was still in Red Bull. So yeah, a little history, just because I'm such a Vettel fan, and it's kind of pertains to Monza, just because that was his first ever win.
Yeah.
I don't know. He won quite a few races afterwards at Monza. I'm pretty sure he did, but it's just sad because this year we don't really expect to win.
Imagine he does win though, like out of nowhere. Ferrari won in two.
I think that would be a proper miracle.
Mm.
Like, yeah.
I showed you that meme where the motion that Italians use with their hands.
Yeah.
And they were like, the idea of how they got the track of Monza, and it's literally wrapped around in that motion.
That's hilarious. But yeah, the Italians, we love them.
My landlords are actually Italians.
Really?
Yeah.
It's weird in South Africa though. I feel like I don't take them seriously as Italian.
Oh, but they're proper Italian.
Like they're from Italy?
Yeah.
Oh, hectic, yeah.
And then came back, and then they want to leave again.
Yeah, because I feel like in South Africa, when people call themselves Italian, I'm just like,
okay.
Half the time, it's like five generations back.
Obviously, Michael Schumacher's won a few Monza Grand Prix, and that's why it was exciting for when Leclerc won last year, because Ferrari hadn't won a few times before Leclerc. I think Vettel, even though he has won, he didn't win 2018. And Ferrari wanted to take it back to say that they were winning at home. So Leclerc did it for them.
Well, are there any Italian drivers left?
I think Giovinazzi.
Is he Italian?
Yeah, I think he is.
Sounds like he was French. But anyway.
Our French guys are just Grosjean and Pierre Gasly. And I think Leclerc, you can count him as French, but he's from Monaco. So
Monaco, yeah.
He's not really French. I don't know.
Well, maybe there's three. I feel like there's three French.
I think Renault is a French team.
Yes, they are. They are because I was racing in F1 2020 and Renault is my engine.
Yeah.
For my car. And they were like, let's make our engine company proud. This is their home.
Oh, in France.
Yeah, in France. They were like, this is our home thing. I ended up winning. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
Well done, Brandon.
It's a fun track, France.
There's so many straights on France. But I think there's like the four DRS zones.
Really?
Yeah. And they're just long. It's just long. There's so many straights. There's a few turns, like a few S-bends.
Yeah.
And the rest is just straight. Might as well race Indy 500. But yeah, it's a fun track.
Indy 500, you just said it. Because there was that break with no Formula One the 1 week, and that was the Indy 500. And if anyone doesn't know, Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's competing in the Indy series this year, I think. And probably people don't know, but Marcus Ericsson, he's also competing. If you don't know who Marcus Ericsson is, you're missing out. He is adorable. He's I think he's Swedish or something, but I'm not really sure where he's from, but he's from Formula One for sure. He raced in, it was then called Sauber, but now it's called Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
So that's when Marcus Ericsson raced, when it was called Sauber, and he raced with Charles Leclerc.
Charles,
yeah, he did. And then when...
How long ago was this?
That was 2018, because then when Leclerc moved up to Ferrari, Raikkonen moved into...
Yeah, I think... Yeah.
And then Giovinazzi came in, taking over Ericsson's spot. And Ericsson was leaving, intending to go to Indy. So I don't know if it was because he didn't get a seat, but he was planning going into Indy from Formula One, which was sad for me because I was just like, oh, I'm never going to watch him again because I don't watch anything else.
Also, random thing. How tall is Ocon?
I don't really look at how tall he is.
Oh my word. He's a giant compared to the rest of them.
Okay, Brad.
I saw him in interviews. I was like, damn, how does he fit in the car? Like, do they have to like specialize?
They do though. They have to create the car especially for the driver. Just ending my Indy segment. Marcus Ericsson is doing so well. He was so close to actually maybe getting a victory at Indy 500, but then as anyone that's watched it knows, there's so many crashes that happens in that race. So
how isn't it just like circles?
Yeah, watch how they go. It's like, have you ever watched Cars, the movie? It's like that. So that's how the cars drive.
If I was like an Indy racer, I'd just quote Lightning McQueen 24/7. I am speed.
But the cars are like Ferrari, I mean like Formula One cars.
Yeah.
They're not like the movie cars. Okay. Let's move on. Daniel Ricciardo, he did so well in Spa.
In Spa, yeah.
Very surprising.
But even Ocon, but mostly Ricciardo.
Both Renaults, yeah, they moved up. And I think maybe that's why they were fighting Racing Point that much this season, because they thought that they were capable of achieving higher than Racing Point. And they feel disadvantaged because Racing Point has like an added, like illegal inverted commas help for them to be that fast, which is unfair on Renault, who isn't doing anything against the rules, but they're still.
It was so close to Ricciardo getting the principal. If Ricciardo came in the top three, got a podium, the principal would have had to get something tattooed of Ricciardo's choice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got like a little bet going. So everyone was like, towards the end, they were like, oh my word, like, did something happen?
Also, I think he probably would be excited because I don't think Renault has been on the podium in forever. Like, they haven't been on the podium since like Fernando Alonso.
So Renault actually won the most points ever in one race.
Oh yes, and if you look at the stand-ins, Ricciardo's like he isn't top three, but
He's been there like low-key.
Yeah.
He's been hovering around 7 and 8 positions.
Yeah, but I'm not sure where he stands with the McLarens, but he's proper in there. So Renault fans, looks like we might have another Fernando Alonso. Well, speaking of, we might have another Fernando Alonso. Next season, we will have a Fernando Alonso.
That is true.
Because Fernando is going to come back and take that seat.
Ricciardo's 8th on Constructors. Renault's 6th. It goes Mercedes, Red Bull, McLaren, Racing Point, Ferrari, Renault.
I think it's always like nice to see Fernando be part of Renault, just because if you look at the olden days, like a few years or a couple of years ago, when he was racing his best, obviously he was racing for Renault because of those championships that he won. He won them both with Renault. So it's cool. I don't know if he'll be able to get another one out, but it would be interesting.
It would be pretty cool.
Yeah, there's no excitement, unfortunately, for Renault, besides the fact that Fernando Alonso is coming in next year. Cool. For Fernando Alonso. Yay. It's also weird because he's racing Indy and then he's like, okay, bye Indy. I'm moving back home.
I think he's tired of turning left only.
Maybe that's the case, but I also think he might go back. I hope he has enough time to go back, like when in his career, that he chooses to stay long in the career. Oh yeah, I feel like I hope it's he's still able to earn his career, go back to Indy, just because I think he does have it in him to win at least one, like the Indy 500. Like, yeah. I think he could do it. Like, he won the, what's it called? The 24 hour one.
Oh, the
Le Mans.
Le Mans. Yeah.
So I think he can do it. So I have faith in him.
Yeah, talking about like new drivers coming in and stuff in like career mode, like the F1 2020 game. Like, it's pretty cool. There's like the driver's market and owning your own team and stuff. You get to choose who you want and you can bring in F2 drivers. And
which is so interesting.
Yeah. So like F2 drivers on the game. And I know there are some like old school people, but you have to, I think you just need like to buy the DLC for them and then they're actually in the game.
When you say old school people, you mean like Schumacher.
Schumacher, and there's like other, like the oldest it goes up to is like 1970. It's really cool. Like, you get like sponsors in the game, and as you evolve, you get more sponsors, and those sponsors give you weekly amounts. And if you complete like a goal, then you get this big bonus. And after every season, you change your car up, and then they like unveil it, and it's as you have like these press conferences. So it's pretty cool.
That's so exciting. But doesn't it get sad when you finish the game, or do you never finish?
I think you get like, you race 10 seasons, but it takes so long. Okay. It's so long. I think you can, for me, I can only race 3 times in a day, like at home, because you do the full 3 practices and it's like the proper time.
Yeah, yeah. Like how it would be on an actual race.
Yeah. The only thing is I don't race the full track. I do 25% of it. So it's like between 14 and 20 laps.
Which is still quite a lot. It's like F2.
You sit there for long. But yeah, it's really cool. Like you can choose to do like short qualifying, one short qualifying, or the full thing where you go 18, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Also, I think the really cool features with the F2 drivers, because you get a wide selection of the drivers to choose from.
So you can also like bring like Hamilton to your team. And even like in my game, Vettel's moved to McLaren. But there's also 22 drivers in the championship opposed to 20.
Yeah, but in like F2 and F3, there are more drivers though. So you drive with the top 20 plus you.
Yeah.
Cool.
So no one really gets like eliminated, which is cool. But it's hard when you start out because like you literally like the worst car on the track. But it depends how you're, when you start the game, you get like this interview, and the more you speak on like a certain thing, so it talks on your aerodynamics, your power, terrain, your durability, and your chases or cases, however you say it. And whichever you like praise more, that before your thing comes, it kind of puts more effort into that part of the thing. So when people start the game, most people are like checking into the power. So when you start, you got a lot of power, but your durability sucks, which is what happened to me.
So you were able to drive fast, but easy to crash?
Not easy to crash, just your stuff gets worn out faster.
Oh, like your wheels, your tires and stuff.
Yeah. So also like your engine parts, you have to replace them more frequently.
But not in a race?
Not in a race.
Oh, only just like, over a season. Also your team, I know obviously you're driving for your own team. I know you said you get to choose F2, so do you only get one person? You can only choose one driver?
It's just me, and then if I wanted to, you can't like knock your player out of your thing. You have a contract, and then you can either renew it mid-season or you get a new driver, which is what I did. When I first started out, I had like some really bad rated F2 driver.
That is so rude.
Well, it's because I still like can afford. You have like...
But that is so rude because you're talking about Jack Aitken.
No. I got him later on.
Oh.
No, he was like... My driver was like... He was rated like 54. Jack Aitken.
What was his name?
I can't even remember. Oh, he was from Monaco as well.
What was his name?
Hilal or...
Surname?
Yeah. G-E-L-E-A-L.
Sean Galeo.
Yeah, he was so crap in the game. He like one of the lowest rated.
He's injured now. He has a back injury. He's not able to finish the rest of the season.
Oh, maybe that's why he's not rated bad.
So they count 2020 in the game.
Well, I don't, he's in the game.
Because that, I think it would count him from last year, wouldn't it? Like his performance.
Yeah, pretty much. But he's rated low. So I lost that guy. I kicked him straight out.
But Jack Aiken is my favorite.
Yeah, he's doing pretty well. He did better than me in the one qualifying.
Well, I wish he was doing pretty well in real life because he's now sucking in Formula 2. He was really good last year, but he switched teams. He used to be part of Renault Academy, and now he's part of Williams.
Why would he do that? He just went downhill.
I think for a young driver, they think that if they're part of Williams, it's easy for them to come up because like George Russell and Latifi.
Yeah,
like it's easy for them to come up. So I think, I don't know if that's the mindset, but I have a feeling that's the mindset or that's what it looks like from the outside. But your quick talk about Williams, sad things happening there.
Yeah, sold the team. And then now the, what's her face is leaving.
Claire Williams is leaving Williams. Williams family that started that team has no association at all with F1 Williams team. Been there for so long. There's been so many F1 drivers that, like famous F1 drivers that have driven for them. For me right now, I can only just think of Nico Rosberg. Because I was actually watching, it was that same race where, no, it wasn't. This is a lie. It was 2009. It was the first race in 2009, the Australian Grand Prix. And Braun, they won the race. They were 1 and 2, but Nico Rosberg was racing for Williams and they were top. Nico Rosberg was so close to actually being on the podium.
Yeah, Williams were like a fantastic team for a long time.
And that was like when Nico Rosberg was driving for them, which was not that long ago. Like, yes, it was 10 years ago, but 10 years ago is not that long. Yeah. So I just feel like it's sad. It is sad for anyone that's been in racing, part of Formula One, like fan from the beginning of Formula One. So Williams was never a big thing to us. Like we never saw them as like a huge team. But for those who did, sad. But yeah, but we do look forward to the next race, which is also in Italy. It is a big race because it's going to be the 1,000th race for Ferrari. I don't know if it's for Formula One, but it's definitely for Ferrari, which is a huge thing for them because it's going to be in Italy. I think they really were hoping that they could do this. They were counting down the races to make sure that it was 1,000 in that location, well, in Italy, so that the Italians could celebrate.
But didn't they add a whole bunch of new tracks as well? Like,
yeah, so later on. So, but they wanted to make sure that the schedule added up to 1,000 in Italy so that they could celebrate this. But thanks, guys, for listening. We're excited to get back into this. Just again, we are going to try to be more active with the F1 community. If you want to reach out to us, message us on Instagram. The link's in the description. It's our Instagram's called Loves Formula One because we love Formula One. So, heads up. Just a shout out quickly to one of our friends.
Yeah. So, shout out to Hometown Blues. They are actually soccer or wherever you are in the world, football, which is actually what I like to use, the correct term, football podcast that talk on Chelsea and Manchester City, just because those are the two people who support them, as well as other teams and other businesses going in the football direction.
We are definitely people that are interested in multiple sports, not just Formula One. So I'm pretty sure there are some listeners who might be interested in football as well. I do know Formula One has a lot of black football people, like the countries that are involved are football countries. So
yeah.
I would expect some football fans in there. So yeah, give them a listen. I will link that in the description as well so you can find them. But thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We are really wanting to make this an exciting space for people to actually come to enjoy it as much as we enjoy making it. So please let us know what you would like to hear us talk about.
Yeah,
hit us up in the DMs.
Yeah. So also, if you didn't know, we are on multiple platforms now. So
yeah.
You can find us almost anywhere. We're on Spotify, yay, and Google Podcasts at the moment. And I'm not sure if you're listening to us on Anchor, you can definitely message us in the app. Yeah, we'll hear you guys. I always never know what to say. We will be here next time, and we hope that you will be there next time
to listen.